Good morning. Good to see everybody this morning. When I was 20 years old, I worked at a pizza place. That was what I did while I was in college. And this was at a certain point in my life where I was working a lot and had a lot of bills to pay and trying to go to school at the same time. And a lot of you have been there before. I had a manager that I really liked. The problem is I had an assistant manager I did not like. And the assistant manager was the nephew to the manager. And it wasn't just the nephew, he was the manager's wife's sister's son. Yeah. The assistant manager's name was Nick. None of y'all know who he is, and if you think you did, you probably still don't. I didn't like Nick. Nick was worthless. Nick was lazy. He was demanding. And I just there was nothing about Nick that I really liked. On one particular day, I came to work, and nobody else came to work except me, because they didn't like Nick either. And but I came there, and so it's just me and this assistant manager, and we began to open up. And he said, "Well, you're going to have to make the pizzas and cut the pizzas at the same time." And I said, "Okay." I knew how to do both, so I made the pizzas, and as they came out of the oven, I'm trying to cut the pizzas and trying to put them in boxes, and well, the pans start, you know, piling up. And Nick was standing there at the cash register, and he turned around and he said, "You're going to wash these pans?" And I said, "I guess so." So I took the pans to the back and I'm washing them, and he comes back in there. He says, "Hey, you got pizzas coming out of the oven. You need to come cut these pizzas." So I run back up there, and he's just talking to, you know, somebody across the counter. I'm thinking to myself, "Why don't you cut these pizzas? Why don't you wash these pans?" So I'm trying to make some more. I'm trying to cut the pizzas. I'm just dripping with sweat. And at one point, Nick turns around and says, "You're going to have to pick up the pace." Now, at this point, you know, there's a lot of things going through a 20-year-old's mind. I remember taking some more dishes back there and trying to wash them off. And Nick comes up there and he says, "Hey, I've got to go outside and smoke a cigarette. Would you mind handling the cash register?" Now, at this point, I was going to tell Nick where he could put that cash register. But I didn't. I remember working most of the afternoon, all through the morning, and then getting into the afternoon. And I remember Nick coming in and Nick's friends coming. We had shut the dining room down because we had no waitresses or waiters. So Nick's friends came in. He says, "Hey, we're going to go ahead and let my friends eat here. Would you mind serving them?" And I said, "You know what? I'm done." And he said, "Clock out at any time." And I thought for a minute. And I thought, well, okay, I'll just clock out. And Nick said, "By the way, just so you know, if you clock out, I'll fire you." And I said, "You can't do that." And he said, "Of course I can." He said, "Joe's my uncle." And he said, "Who do you think he's going to have to side with?" Now, at 20 years old, this was the first time that I became aware of a fact of life. I am a slave. Now, since that moment, I have said that line to myself four or five other times. I was not a slave to Nick. I was not a slave to the pizza place. I was not a slave to myself. This is not a lesson on work or attitude. I do a lot of those. This is a lesson on money. A few weeks ago, I talked about me and my money, and I told you it was a series. So we had that one, we have this one, and we have the one next Sunday morning. But today I want to speak very candidly with you about money. And I, you know, Adam talked about we don't have the screen down. Part of the reason is we have pretty stained glass. So I hate to cover that up. The other part is I would like for you to use your Bibles. I think it's important that we get in the habit of opening them. And for some of us, we don't open them except on Sundays. And if we only open it on Sundays, some of us, if we're not here, we go 2 weeks. So I don't mind telling you where stuff is, but at some point I can start making this up. I mean, it'd be funny if it wasn't so sad. But, I mean, seriously, I mean, I can, and I kind of discovered this. Some of us say sometimes, "Well, the Bible says this. I know it says somewhere this." And a couple of weeks ago, I was listening to two people talk, and somebody said, "Well, I know the Bible says this," and the lady said, "But Adam said it was this." And I thought, excellent. And then I thought, not good. That's not good. That's not good. I know what the Bible says, but Adam says this, so we're going to, whose word gets taken now? I would love for all of you to take mine, but that is problematic. It's very problematic. So, if you got your Bibles, what we're going to do this morning is just stay in Proverbs. I'm going to make it easy, so get you time to find it. So you get to the middle of the Bible, you'll find Psalms, you go right, we'll get to Proverbs. You know, I may quote from a couple of other ones, but we're just going to do Proverbs just so you understand what I'm talking about. And you also need to understand this about the Proverbs. The Proverbs are not law. It is not gospel. They are not God's precepts and ordinances. The Proverbs are God's advice. This is a good idea for you. This is a good idea. And what we're going to find today is that when it comes to money, if you don't learn how to save it, if you spend too much of it, and if you don't manage your time, you are a slave to money. Now, what happened to me at 20 years old, you know, what was I going to do? Quit? Rent is due. My electricity bill is due. And I know some people today would say, you just need to take that job and tell them what to do with it. That's great. Who pays the rent? Who going to pay rent? I'll show them. You be showing them from the street. I mean, I'm sorry. Folks, this is how the, and I know some of you are like, oh yeah, this is what we've been saying. Oh, great. I'm coming to you in a minute, so it's all right. If you use too much, if you save too little, and don't manage your time, you will be a slave. That's just it. Even they agreeing with me. You're going to be a slave. So if you're in the book of Proverbs, I want to go there, but I want to start with the law, just so that you understand how serious. You don't have to turn there. If you don't have a Bible, you don't want to use a Bible, write the scriptures down and go look at them later. Every one we're going to look at, it has to do with your money. And there's not a single person in this room who doesn't have to deal with money. Now, your spouse may pump your gas, pay your bills, and you don't have a worry in the world. If your spouse goes before you, you will need to put these on an index card. Okay? Because they're not going to be around. I know you, maybe I'll go first. Maybe. But I have found that is not how life works. Whatever you think is going to happen, don't happen. Especially when it comes to money. Let me start here. In Leviticus 25:42, stay in Proverbs, but Leviticus 25:42, God says, because the Israelites are my servants, whom I brought out of Egypt, they must not be sold as slaves. Please don't think that's just to Egypt. That is when you get sold as slaves, period. I'm going to start in Proverbs 12, verse 24. Solomon says, diligent hands, hands hard at work, those hands will rule. But, he says, laziness ends in slave labor. Now, Solomon doesn't mean that if you don't work, that you're going to get sold off as a slave. What Solomon means is that if you don't pay attention and you don't get to work, you're going to be a slave. And church, there's really just no better way to say that. So let me start by saying this, because I don't want y'all to think that if you're poor, you know, God hates you. That's not what we're trying to say. Here's what I want you to know. There are worse things in life than y'all being poor. I mean, there are worse things in life than being poor. And some of y'all know this. And Solomon actually mentions them in Proverbs 15, verse 16. Solomon says that it's better that you have a little with the fear of the Lord than to have a whole lot of money with turmoil. Some of y'all know what it's like to come home to an angry house. You know what it's like to walk in, people yelling at each other, people hitting each other, people drink too much at home. You walk in, people have a negative word for you. You can't even come home without somebody looking at you with a scowl. And if I had to ask you, what would you rather have? Would you rather have peace in your house or would you rather have money in your house? I would imagine that most of you would say peace. And that's what Solomon says. Solomon says, I'd rather be poor and come home and not my blood pressure not go up. But some of y'all know what it's like. You don't want to go home. You got money. But your house is a wreck. I ain't talking about underwear on the bed. I'm talking about your family. is a wreck. Or how about this? In Proverbs 19, verse 22, I'm trying to keep them close together so we ain't turning that much. Proverbs 19, 22, Solomon says he'd rather be poor than be a liar. So we talk about, you know, money and how much money you have. Solomon says, look, if I have to pick between somebody trusting me and me having money, I'd rather pick trust. There are some things better than being poor. Or how about this? In Proverbs 22, verse 1, Solomon says it's better to have a good name than to have desired for riches. Your reputation matters. If you're known as a rich, spoiled brat, it would be better for you to be known as a good, poor, humble spirit. And I know we read this and we say that's easy for Solomon to say. You know who always tends to have good advice about money? People with money. You ever wonder that? Somebody told me recently, they said, you know, they said, well, but I hear all the time that money's not the most important thing in the world. I said, you know who says that? Poor people. Because they don't have none. Yeah. And I'm kind of making a dig, but I'm also telling the truth. And what I found is that people who do have money talk about just how important money is. But I got to tell you, they got a point. Just a few minutes, I'm gonna show you. There are better things in life than, there are worse things in life than being poor. But church, if we make being poor our goal, I'm not sure you're going to be able to get to heaven. And I want y'all to give me some room here. What I'm saying this morning is not if you can't pay your bills, you're going to hell. I didn't say that. If you make poverty your aim, if you're not paying attention to not becoming impoverished, it will be very difficult for you to go to heaven. And I didn't say that so that you think that God hates poor people, because he doesn't. In Proverbs 8, verse 10 and 11, Solomon says, he's talking to his son, he says, Proverbs 8, verse 10, he says, choose my instruction, listen to me, instead of silver. Choose knowledge rather than gold. And he says, wisdom is more precious than rubies. Being wise. There's something to be said for being wise. Solomon thinks that it's better that we're wise than to have money. And there are worse things in life than being poor. And you know what one of those worst things are? Being stupid. I'm sorry. But I'd rather be poor and wise than to be rich and dumb. Because if you're not going to be wise, then you're going to make foolish decisions that will keep you out of heaven. He says in Proverbs 11, verse 4, he says, wealth is worthless in the day of wrath. Some of us cannot get rid of our stuff. We cannot do it. If you had to choose between getting rid of it and trading it for something else, you'd do neither. We want it all. And when you go to hospice, them hospice nurses don't care how much in y'all's closet. I'm being real with y'all. I've been in a lot of hospice rooms. I've never had a hospice nurse say, how much are you worth? You know what a hospice nurse gets paid if you're rich, or a hospice nurse gets paid if you're poor? The same thing. Now, I have seen richer people have better nurses. I wonder if there's something to that. We're going to get to that in just a second. Being poor is not a sin. God has a special place in his heart for poor people. But that does not mean we should make that our goal. I just told you there's worse things in life than being poor. And there ain't no shame in being poor. But being poor is not what God intends. I'll show you two texts. Proverbs 10, verse 15. I'm going to show you why. Okay? Remember, I told you before, if you're not paying attention to the money, it's going to be difficult for you to go to heaven. This is why. It's not that thou shalt have money or thou shalt, you know, go to purgatory. You know, I'm not, one A don't equal B there, okay? But A will lead to hell. And here's why. Proverbs 10, verse 15, Solomon says, poverty is the ruin of the poor. And you think, isn't that like an oxymoron, like a double negative or something? Like, the poor is bad to be poor. What? What Solomon is saying is that being impoverished is what ruins the impoverished. It's not their nationality. It's not their race. It's not who was our daddy. It's none of those things. It is poverty that kills a human being. And then he tells you why. In chapter 13, verse 23. I mean, this is like reason numero uno. Why? And there's some, you know, dose and trace to go with it. 13, verse 23, Solomon says, a poor man's field may produce abundant food, but injustice sweeps it away. Did y'all catch that? If you poor and you have a good crop and you have good yield, praise Jesus, they got food, guess what happened? Richer, more powerful people, they just come take it. And let me ask y'all a question. What you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Let me tell you what you're going to do about it. Nothing. You're not going to do a single thing about it. Well, I'm going to sue them. No, you're not. You know why? Because you ain't got no money. You ain't got no money. And I hope y'all don't stop listening and leave and say, the preacher said, we got to get some money. On the other hand, I hope you leave and think, the preacher said, we need to be watching our money. I've been involved in two court cases in my life. And I'd go through both of them all over again. But the first one, I spent every dime I ever had that I ever saved. Ever since that day with Nick, for 16 years, I saved what I could. And I blew every penny. In fact, we rolled into Nashville with me having about $46 to my name. Total. I spent every dime on that court case. It cost money. And the reason I went through that court case, there was an injustice. I had to see this corrected. And then about a few months later, I had an opportunity to take it to court again. I had no money. And he said, well, what? You don't have no money. Who do you think wins? If anybody ever tells you money's not important, you just might as well go on and laugh at them. Laugh at them. They lied to you. They lied to you. Church, you need money in this earth. And I could not have gone through that second court case. You know how I went through that second court case? I knew somebody who had money. I knew some other people who had money. Wasn't none of y'all in here? I didn't ask y'all. But this person understood the importance of it. This person was better at managing money than I was. You know how I won? Because I'll outspend you. It's reality. Solomon thinks that you can do everything right but not pay attention to your money and you will have everything taken from you. Now, does that mean you're going to go to hell? No, it just means your life is going to be really, really rough. And the rougher your life, the harder it is for you to live a good life. Y'all understand that? It doesn't mean that you ain't got no money, you're condemned. It just means that if you don't have money, that life's harder and God doesn't want your life to be harder. Proverbs 19, verse 4. There's two Proverbs in chapter 19 that are extremely important. Proverbs 19, verse 4. Some of us don't like Proverbs because we don't want to believe them, but really, if you don't want to believe them and you don't like them, it means that the Proverbs talking to you. That's what it means. I don't think that's true. Yeah, we talking about you, okay? Proverbs 19, verse 4, Solomon says, wealth brings many friends, but a poor man's friend deserts him. My friends don't call me anymore. I wonder why. How about this verse 7? Because it's kind of the same. A poor man is shunned by all his relatives. How much more do his friends avoid him? you know, he tries to pursue his friends with pleading, but they know where to be found. You be calling your friends. It just goes to voicemail. You text them, they don't text back. And then you start bemoaning the fact, you know, nobody calls me anymore. Nobody talks to me anymore. I try to call my friend. You know, when I have money, you know, my friends, they pick up the phone as soon as I call. And then when I don't have money, now they won't pick it up. Do you know why they won't pick it up? Because every time you call, you need money. Every time we go out to eat, you ain't got no money. You know, you just eat the bread that they bring and sit there and not order anything because you ain't got no money. And then we feel bad. We don't like feeling bad, so we just don't invite you anymore. You notice Solomon's not giving you a law. Solomon's telling you this is real life. This is real stuff. How come nobody calls me anymore? Because you kind of sucking them dry. And Solomon says you wonder why you ain't got no friends because you don't pay attention to your money. He's not telling you you're a bad person. He's just saying this is life. And church, I think we live in a culture now that really doesn't want to talk about why this is true. We need to be teaching our children. There's a reason people don't want to be around you. You're a leech. You a leech. Stop being a leech. And by the way, you just can't stop. You got to do three things. You got to spend less. You got to save more. And you got to manage your time. Because if you're not doing all three of those, your life gets more and more difficult. How about Proverbs 22, verse 7? Not a whole lot of truer statements. Proverbs 22, verse 7, the rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is a servant to the lender. I know y'all heard that in every David Ramsey's class. I know this ain't nothing new for y'all. Look, if you borrow and you owe somebody, you owe them. If you use that Chase credit card and you got a 22% interest and you cannot pay what you just bought, and let me tell y'all, everybody who knows me knows who's the first person I'm preaching to. Every time. He preaching right at me. No. If I'm saying it to you, this means I got to hear this. But if you got a Chase card, I don't care if you get points. You know, I bought me a car, and now I get a free air. I get a free trip to Hawaii. Okay. Something don't seem right about that. If you bought something you can't afford and you owe 22% interest, you are owned by Chase. You might as well just slap some shackles on you. Chase owns you. I'm going to show them. I'm not going to pay this bill. Cool. Yeah, that's great. And then you go to buy a car and they say, sorry. But your credit says that you owe money because you tried to show them who's boss. If you'd have read Solomon and put his words to use, you would have already known, I'm a slave to Chase. And there's nothing, church, you can do about it. There ain't nothing you can do about it. The only thing you can do is to get out of slavery. That's the only thing you can do. And those of us who think, well, but I got Jesus. Jesus is not going to pay that Chase bill. Now, he might. We got them good stories like in the guidepost where you go out to the mailbox and open it up. I ain't never had that story happen to me. I be going to my mailbox all the time. It's a guidepost day. Nope, ain't no Chase bill in here. And please don't open your mailbox and say, Jesus, where are you at? You know where Jesus is at? In the Proverbs, telling you to quit being dumb with your money. I mean, I don't know how to put this. I really don't know how to put this any better. Poverty does not mean you're a bad person, but being in poverty means it's going to be really, really hard for you. And here's the worst reason why. It's in Proverbs 30. It's cruel words. Proverbs 30, verse 11, Solomon talks about the worst people in the world. I mean, you know, let's just talk about the worst, and no, he doesn't say poor people. Proverbs 30, verse 11, he says, there are those who curse their fathers and don't bless their mothers. There are those people who are pure in their own eyes, yet they are not cleansed of their filth. Verse 13, there are those whose eyes are haughty and whose glances are disdainful. But in verse 14, there are those whose teeth are like swords and whose jaws are set with knives to devour the poor from the earth and to eat the needy from mankind. Church, there are people in this world who get ahead by eating the weak. And if you ain't got no money, if you didn't save any money, they're going to eat you alive. you have a great day at work and you come home and we need you to go wash some dishes. What you gonna do? Quit? You got no money. You're owned by money. You're eaten by money. And all of a sudden you find yourself doing stupid things because you're a slave. If we would have just spent less, saved more, and managed our time, we wouldn't be a slave. God does not want you to be poor. Poverty makes life difficult. But let me end with this. That although being poor should not be your goal, being rich should not be your goal either. For the same reasons. Proverbs 23, verses 4 and 5. Proverbs 23, verses 4 and 5. Solomon says, "Do not wear yourself out to get rich. Have the wisdom to show some restraint. Just cast a glance at riches. Just look at them funny, and all of a sudden, what happened to it? Some of us stockpile all that money away. We've been putting it away, and we go and look at our account, and where'd it go? Hey, where'd my money go? Remember that election? I mean, you remember you had to go to the hospital. I mean, you remember that. And you remember we had to get a new car this year. I mean, the car broke down. We had to do it. All of a sudden, all that money you saved, you was feeling so good about it. Gone. Just feeling so good about it. I met somebody one time when I gave him their first check. He looked at it. He said, "Who's FICA? Why is he taking my money?" Yeah. Haven't we all felt like that? Yeah. Some of us look at our check. There's like 9 lines. You worked overtime, you worked 82 hours, you get your check, you got $3. What? Where's my money? So I got FICA, I got federal government, health insurance, IRA, 401k, child support, alimony, debt from that Chase card I didn't pay. I showed them, didn't I? I showed them. But I got $4, though. I know health insurance, child support, it's not like you're going to get out of that. But if you don't start paying attention to your money, you ain't never going to get out of that. Solomon says, you just look at money funny, it just leaves. If your aim in life is to be rich, you ain't never going to get there. Proverbs 28, verse 19, he says, "He who works his land will have a lot of food. But the one who chases fantasies will have his fill of poverty." Look at verse 22 of chapter 28. "A stingy person," it's a person with an evil eye, "they are eager to get rich, and they're so eager that they are unaware that poverty awaits him." Church, there is only so much money in this. The federal government only prints so much money. I know we think that money is unlimited. There's only so much of it. You know, Bill Gates doesn't just get on Microsoft and I think I'm going to add $1 million to the account. It has to move. Money's not, I know it's kind of imaginary, but it's a real thing. There is only so much money in our globe. So let's just say that the amount is 50, because that's what we can all do right now. Okay, we got 50. The amount of money is 50. That's all there is. And I want a bigger piece of it. What happens? Somebody gets less of a piece. Money is not made. Money is transferred. If I make more, it's got to come from somewhere. And when you make it your aim in life to have the most, you will end up doing anything to anyone to get that number. And that's why making riches your goal will also keep you out of heaven. There's a good proverb. It's Proverbs 30, verses 7 through 9. And in this proverb, Solomon has the balance. Proverbs 30, verse 7 through 9. And we'll make this the last proverb we use. It says, "Two things I ask of you, O Lord. Don't refuse me before I die." Verse 8. "Keep falsehood and lies far from me." So in other words, don't let me lie to myself here. Here's the request. Give me neither poverty nor riches. I don't want either one. I don't want to be real poor and I don't want to be real rich. But instead, just give me my what? Oh, who does that sound like? Where y'all think he got it from? That whole give us our daily bread. You think Jesus made that up? No, he borrowed that from Solomon. So before any of you think, you know, I want to hear what Jesus has to say. Who was Jesus listening to? Solomon says, give me my daily bread, verse 9. Here's why. Otherwise, if I have too much money, I might disown you and say, who's the Lord? You know, when you got all the money, you tend to think, I made that. I did that. I got that. I worked overtime. I deserve that. You know what you're saying? Who's God? I pulled myself by my own bootstraps. I did that. Don't tread on me. Or, he says, if I'm too poor, I may become poor and steal, and I dishonor the name of my God. You see, if you got too much money, you're liable to think that you're your own God. And if you don't have enough money, you're liable to do whatever it takes to get it. I don't think if you're poor, if you're rich, you're going to... I don't think Jesus has a hatred for poverty. I don't think he has a hatred for riches. But I think Jesus Christ knew either is dangerous. It's dangerous. Either one will cause you to do things you never would have done if you would have spent less, saved more, and managed your time. In 2011, Boston College concluded a four-year study with wealthy people. I did not get contacted for this study. Yeah. And when I say wealthy, you know, to me, when I say wealthy, somebody says, I'm making $150,000, I'm like, man, they rich? No, wow. Now, if you don't make that much, that's a lot. You know, it's, man, I wish I made that much. And when I read this about this study that Boston College did, I'm thinking, man, I bet they talked a lot. They did a study of 165 households. And I'm thinking, you know, average net worth, what? I don't know, $500,000 or something? That's rich. I can buy a boat. Yeah. 2011, you can Google this if you want to. It's all there. They conducted a search of 165 households. They actually did a search larger than that. I think the search was 320. Only 165 responded. The average net worth of these households was $78 million. The average. I got to get better friends. But I just want to share with you what this found, okay? This article was in The Atlantic, because you can believe anything The Atlantic says. But the title of the article was The Secret Fears of the Super Rich. And here's what the article said. It concluded that the respondents who responded turn out to be, I'm quoting because I'm using my fingers, a generally dissatisfied lot whose money has contributed to a deep anxiety involving love, work, and family. Indeed, almost the entire lot who responded are frequently dissatisfied with their fortune. And most of them, 98%, did not consider themselves financially secure. And all of them said it would require another quarter more of the wealth than they now possess for them to finally feel at peace. In this article, one man put it like this. This is one of the rich people who responded. He said, money's like a fire. It'll either warm your feet or it'll burn your socks off. His psychologist, Robert Kinney, who's in the same article, he said this. He said, sometimes I think that the only people in this country who worry more about money than the poor are the super rich. They worry about losing it. They worry about how it's invested. They worry about the effect it's going to have. And as every zero increases, the dilemmas get bigger. You thought it was just the poor who's in trouble. It's the rich too. How do I make sense of that? Don't be poor, but don't be rich. Next week, I'm going to share with you Solomon's five principles regarding money. He's got five. You read the Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, you read some of the Psalms. He's got five principles. They run over and over. And if you follow these five, you will be financially secure. Like, we can market it. It's like, you know, we like the Dave Ramsey. No, that's like the Solomon way. Okay? Five principles. They easy. It's just five. That's next week. And if you're here this morning, I want you to come back next week because we all need these five. They're real basic. But this week, let me say this. Jesus does not have, you know, here's my three principles on money. Jesus doesn't have principles on money. Jesus don't have principles on alcohol. I know some of y'all want him to, but he don't. Jesus does not have an alcohol rule. I'm not sitting up here and telling all y'all you shouldn't drink wine. I'm not telling you you shouldn't drink Tennessee whiskey. I'm not telling you to go home and drink wine. I'm not telling you to go home and drink Tennessee whiskey. I know some of you are hoping I would. I just need a crease. Just need a crease. I know what the Bible says, but the preacher says, no. Now, here we go. Jesus don't have alcohol rules. Jesus don't have money rules. Jesus don't have marriage rules. Jesus has life rules. And those life rules govern all of those things. And let me share them with you real quick. There's just three basic ones. You read the Gospels, you're going to come up with these right here. Number one, do not allow your resources and time to run you. Don't allow that. Number two, you manage your resources and your time. And number three, use your resources and your time to get to heaven. That's it. You want to know how that plays out? If the doctor prescribes you 30 narcotic painkillers, I'm just showing you how this works right here. If he prescribes you 30 narcotic painkillers, here's how Jesus' principles would work in your life. Don't use them all. Leave some in the bottle. You don't allow substances to run you. I know the doctor says, you know, we got a 30-day supply. What Jesus would teach you is you run your schedule. And you leave a little in that bottle. You make sure you leave some in there. And you make sure those pills don't keep you out of heaven. Because if those pills suck you into that bottle, I promise you, you ain't going. Not because you got sucked in, but because those pills start to make you do horrible things. And there's always hope, but it gets harder and harder and harder. Marriage, money, same principles. This morning, it's kind of about me and my money, but really it's about me and my life. Me and my life. This morning, who or what are you a slave to? I'm going to be as honest with you as I am with myself. It's your fault. It's your fault. The Bible, God's Word, speaks to us and tells us here's how to get out. It starts with me. I need to do this better. I need to watch how I do things. And I need to make sure that going to heaven is my number one priority. Because for a lot of us, it ain't. I'm not the best with money. Otherwise, I wouldn't give this sermon. I don't give sermons that I'm the best at. I leave them on the shelf. I ain't found one yet, but you know, most of the stuff I tell y'all about, I'm not good at. So I just talk to y'all. Maybe we all kind of be together. I'm not good with money. I've made some huge mistakes. Man, I don't regret them because they made me better at money. We have elders at this church, and I don't think our elders were surveyed in that survey either. I don't think they are part of that 78 million. But I would bet this, that our shepherds have learned how to live in a world with money. There's a reason we have shepherds in a church. They're wiser than we are. They're better at things than we are. They learned the hard way like we did. This morning, if money has enslaved you, if substance has enslaved you, if people have enslaved you, if you are enslaved, when we have this invitation, we have shepherds who come up here too. And they pray for you. They can help you. They've helped me. And they'll be honest with you as they've been honest with me. And they can help us all not get out of debt, but get out of bondage so that we can find that path to heaven. This morning, if there's something that's threatening your entrance into the kingdom of heaven, let us all help each other as we stand and sing.